Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Kreutz, and this is the Worldwide Technology Tech 37 webinar. Our Tech 37 webinars are a monthly series of webinars focused on a different technology solution and designed to pack a lot of information into a quick 37-minute format so you can continue on about your busy day. The core of the presentation will be within the 37 minutes, so if you need to drop off, you can rest assured you've received all the pertinent information as promised. Today's webinar will be focused on the future of Flash. We have a great lineup of WWT panelists today, and we'll get to them in just a moment. Among the many items that we'll cover, with the benefits of Flash established, the question becomes, what's next for the Flash industry? Also, gain insights into the best use cases for Flash. And finally, we'll hear about new technologies related to Flash coming down the road. Just some general housekeeping items before we begin. If at any time during our conversation you have any questions or comments, be sure to post them to the Q&A window, which is now open. Of course, we'll be sure to address as many of them before the end of the presentation. You can also engage with us online on Twitter, twitter.com. Tweet your questions using the @WWT_INC. And please be sure to use the hashtag Tech37. That's T-E-C-37, Tech37. Now that we've gone over those, let's introduce our moderator. We have Scott Webb with us. Scott?
Thanks, Brian, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Scott Webb, and I'm the Flash Storage Discipline Lead here at Worldwide Technology. And today I'm lucky to be joined on stage by Jerry Egan, who is our National Technical Partner Manager from NetApp, as well as Pete Richardson, our partner CTO for Dell EMC, and our own Jeff Funky, who is a Senior Storage Administrator for WWT's internal IT department. So again, thanks everybody for joining us today. The topic is going to be the future state of the Flash industry. And we key that up in a couple different ways, right? So when WWT visits with our customers, we basically start with the slide that you're seeing on your screen right now, which is pain points and challenges that today's CIOs and enterprise data centers are seeing, right? So you see things like big data and cybersecurity and VDI and software-defined everything. Well, in my opinion, the key underlying points of a lot of these technologies is their requirement for a flash storage subsystem, right? So and how that can benefit the business. So I thought that I would start with a few questions, and before I get into that, Worldwide's really value add to our customers is our advanced technology center, and specifically with inside that our Flash Lab, which features products from our awesome OEMs, NetApp, Dell EMC, and several others, right? So again, I thought I would just open up a discussion panel with our panelists here and throw out a few questions, if that's okay with you guys.
Sure. Sounds great.
So Jerry, let me start with you. What would you tell customers that haven't yet started adopting Flash, if there are any that still exist out there?
Well, believe it or not, Scott, I think they're pretty normal. So I think like a lot of things in life, it's a journey, right? So there's definitely a lot of excitement around the Flash market because it's new. Well, I shouldn't say it's new, but it's definitely gaining a lot of momentum. So I think it's a lot like an analogy, what we see in cars today in the automobile industry. We've always had the gasoline type car, which would be kind of like our hard drive spinning disk. And then we've seen a transformation with some of the newer technologies with electric. So we have hybrid, and we've seen that with a lot of the storage environment as well, too, with flash mixed with spinning drives. And then, of course, we see companies like Tesla, who is all electric. So you probably don't see too many people that have just one. There might be some folks that have a mix of those at home. And it's the same way in a data center. And a lot of times, this really comes down to the cost. And also, where's the customer at with their applications and those type of things. So you're definitely, I think, in a journey. I think as time progresses, you're definitely going to be moving more towards Flash. Some of it is because you'll have to, because there's only certain companies that are actually manufacturing the media that enterprise storage companies use today. So the one thing for sure, though, is it's going to be very exciting.
Agreed. Pete?
So Dell EMC kind of sees things a little bit different, right? We've declared this year the year of all flash. And by declaring it the year of all flash, right, we've already seen a shift to saying, 20% of all of our customers have already adopted the all flash data center.
with 90% have plans to get to the all-flash data center within the next 2 to 3 years. So we're definitely seeing a much more rapid transformation in the flash technology for lots of various reasons, right? Flash is a new innovative technology, but it also transforms and changes the ways that you operate, the way you manage, the way you power, the way you cool, you know, data centers, tons of different things around it, right? So reach out to your local Dell EMC reps next week and find out what we're going to do for the week of All Flash, right, which starts on Monday of next week.
Jeff, a slightly different version of the question for you. How is WWT Internal currently taking advantage of Flash in our data centers?
Thanks for the question, Scott. No, so Worldwide is no different really than any other customer out there, right? We've invested very heavily in our data centers and our resources that currently run the business. And you can't just throw away those resources and put all Flash in, right? So we've kind of taken the approach, about 4 or 5 years ago, we've kind of got the hybrid approach, right, where we take Flash and we put it in front of spinning disks and we do auto tiering and those types of things. And as the years and the needs for more I/O have evolved, we've kind of dedicated more Flash resources to those very specific workloads. Some of those workloads, OLTP database type stuff, VDI, those are things we have dedicated Flash resources for, as well as some of our very intensive business applications live in Flash as well. But we've got over 2 petabytes on the floor of spinning disks, and we still need those very much to run the business. So as far as how we're doing it today, we're very much hybrid, but we also have some very dedicated resources to run those very high I/O intense applications.
Makes a lot of sense. So Jerry, back to you with the next question. So what barriers of adoption are you guys seeing to prevent a customer from achieving that vision of an all-flash primary data center?
Scott, I think a lot of times it really comes down to cost. Customers only have a certain amount of budget, and they also have already purchased some amount of technology already that they basically have to use for some period of time. So that's probably one of the greater obstacles. And probably another one, too, is really trying to figure out what are the right applications. Because if you have a budget, you got to figure out, like Jeff was saying, maybe I put my database on the all-flash type of technology, so I get really fast speed, good latency. And then maybe some of the other applications that I have, maybe hybrid is good enough for right now. And even some of it, maybe long-term, maybe spinning drive is still the right cost model for that as well, too. So I think that, in the application, and again, you look at the operating system companies, the application companies, a lot of things that they're doing as well, also, makes an impact on what you're trying to do as well.
Sure. That makes sense. Pete, what do you guys see?
So I think Jerry hit on some really good key points there, right? One of it's definitely around cost. I believe it was last year, we kind of saw the shift between, the cost of a flash drive as opposed to the cost of a spinning hard drive. And that kind of turned the tipping point where flash drives will continually get cheaper over the next, 12 to 18 months. And they'll, of course, get larger and, be able to do more things with them. So I think as you see those economies of scale shift, right, you'll be able to go in and you'll be able to have more application-centric conversations around them and address more of the needs of the business as opposed to where the conversations you traditionally had today with the storage administrators of, going in and trying to manage the IOPS and those kind of things. It really kind of pushes it back up to the application owners and says, hey, if you have the budget for this, right, we can give you this level of service, and we can totally change the quality of service. We can change the SLAs around it. We can truly transform the way that we do inside things, the way we do things inside the data centers today.
Sure, I get it. So, Jeff, what about from WWT Internal's perspective? Are we seeing any barriers of adoption in our own data centers from keeping us to go that direction?
Sure. I mean, so the things that we look at, we have to take a look at what the business is driving and what the business is doing, right? And we've, like I said before, we've invested very heavily in the existing resources, but we start looking at some of those costs of doing business, and that very heavily involves innovation efforts and automation efforts and those types of things. And when you start thinking about the need for performance behind those, you can kind of eliminate some of the day-to-day grind that us as storage administrators have to go through by deploying Flash in the data center. You can potentially alleviate bully victim analysis and some of the things that I spend and we've spent a lot of time, troubleshooting performance. It's certainly a thing that we have to do by deploying Flash. The barriers as far as, cost, that some of that stuff kind of goes away as you start looking at the benefits. But more so in to go off what the question you asked is as systems become very a little older, right? You start looking at what does it cost to maintain those systems moving into the future? And for us, that cost becomes that makes no sense at all to continue to pay for that maintenance. You have to, look at that very heavily, and that drives new solutions. And at this point in time, the new solutions, Flash makes the most sense.
So cost still matters is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay. So, as the crux and the primary discussion point around this this panel is the future of Flash, right? So there's a lot of new technologies coming out, higher density drives, 3D crosspoint, NVMe over PCIe. Jerry, what's NetApp doing in the future to take advantage of the advances and the maturity in the Flash space in general?
So, I think NetApp looks at this as, it's another media. I mean, it's a new media type that's definitely seen a tremendous amount of growth, as we, move into the future. But we're also, seeing that, customers are still looking for other avenues as well, too, again, with hybrid and spinning drives as well, too. So that hasn't changed as well.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. Pete, what's Dell EMC's take on that?
So in February of this year, we introduced an NVMe array over PCIe, right, DSSD. And, that's definitely designed to deliver millions and millions of IOPS, gigabytes per second of throughput, right? I mean, I think some of the testing that we've done here has been, 8-9 gigabytes per second. That's really the first introduction of the kind of the new technologies and the new Flash in the marketplace today. I think what you're going to see from us as we continue to move forward is you're going to see us traditionally shift things to all flash. So look at our hyperconverged platforms, right? In March, we announced all flash versions of that. We introduced the VMAX 450 and the 850F at the same time, right? All flash versions of that. We just introduced the VMAX 250. So we're definitely spending a lot of R&D and taking some of our legacy high-end products and converting those over to all flash because they have, 30 plus years of ingenuity and development built into them already, right? We don't want to just throw that away. We want to give our customers the capabilities to be able to leverage that technology moving forward. But then by the same token, right, we take products like Extreme.io and Unity, and we take Extreme.io, we develop an all-flash array, right, from the ground up, and then we take Unity and we develop yet another all-flash array that meets a different subset of our customers' needs from the ground up. So you're going to continue to see us develop and innovate in those types of technologies. Now, when it comes to the larger capacities, we have VMAX 250s on order with 7 terabyte drives and 15 terabyte drives today. And the reason that we did that is because we all grew up in the storage space. We know that when we decrease the number of spindles, it could have an impact on performance, right? So how does that change? How does that evolve in this all-flash world? That's a question that customers are going to want to ask and that WWT wants to be able to demonstrate and show to their customers. So those things are all on the roadmap. They'll continue to be there, right? We're going to continually add those things as we drive forward.
Sure. Yeah, wanted to add too, we definitely are adopting the newer, larger SSDs, 16 terabyte. And then we're also even seeing the testing development of 32 terabyte SSDs. So we're really looking at this, from our standpoint. We need to focus on what we do extremely well as an enterprise storage company, and that is really around data management. Even though, Flash is a great technology for performance and latency and things like that, a lot of issues that customers have today, like Jeff, I'm sure, are not going away. How do I back up the data? How do I restore it? I still have to have a DR plan. I still have to figure out how do I work in the cloud world. So all those things to us are really important. So if we focus on that, we work very closely with the media companies like Samsung, Toshiba, and others. I mean, that's going to be a win-win for the customers. And for us to adopt media and flash, it's no different in hard drives. I mean, our capabilities are able to do it very easily. And again, we got to keep our focus on what we do well as an enterprise storage company.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. So guys, let's talk about use cases for a little bit. So as Worldwide sees it, right, as the flash storage lead around 3 years ago, you know, we started seeing Flash's entry into the enterprise market, right? And I think we can all agree it was really around the VDI use case, right? That was the lowest hanging fruit. And in my experience, we were seeing, you know, really one of two types of VDI environments. Those with a poor user experience because the spinning disk subsystem was undersized, or those with a great user experience, but the cost per virtual desktop was astronomical because they were using, you know, very expensive storage on it. And then Flash comes along and changes those metrics. As customers get a little bit more, you know, used to and comfort with Flash, they start looking at database use cases and server virtual infrastructure use cases and beyond. Jeff, from a WWT perspective, where are we taking advantage of Flash right now? From a
So that's a great question, Scott. So from our experiences, right, we have a lot of things going on in the business. We have grown immensely. We've added over 2,000, you know, 3,000 employees in the last 5 years. That really takes its toll on an infrastructure, right? People don't think about where these emails and all this data that's being driven is being serviced from, and it's, you know, it's our internal data center. And so for us, right, with initiatives like business process innovation and the automation of infrastructure deployment and all these types of things, we have to take a very serious look at how we can use Flash to help move that, those initiatives along, right? And for us, you know, next year, you know, Pete said it nice. He said it's the year of all Flash. Well, I don't think we're going to be buying any spinning disks next year. I mean, we will be putting a lot of emphasis on the Flash architecture and how we can use that Flash to, you know, best provide services, things outside of maybe even production workloads. We have to enable our developers to be able to come to market with solutions for our customers in a very timely manner, and to be able to give those developers environments that perform adequately like a production environment are some of the initiatives that we're working on. So we are definitely going to be investing very heavily in the Flash industry next year. So.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. Pete, from Dell EMC's perspective, what use cases should customers be looking at beyond today?
All right, so I think that, you know, Flash did a great job of really kind of revolutionizing the whole cost per desktop in VDI. And we're still seeing, you know, a lot of more customers adopt that methodology. It may not be on traditional storage platforms, but, it, you know, definitely in the hyper-converged space, giving, you know, more thought to it there. But I think where you're going to see things moving to the future is, you know, more around the big data, right? You know, there's just tons of data that's being generated in the industry today, whether it's intentional or accidental, right? And people want to go out and they want to report on that data that's been created. Well, how do I best go out and analyze that data and get actionable results out of it? How can I transform my business around that? And that's where Flash will really kind of help enable that, right? If I can use an appliance that, you know, will deliver millions of IOPS, right? Can I go out and detect fraud real time? Can I go out and do genomic sequencing in an hour or 30 minutes instead of days, right? So those are the types of things that I think will revolutionize the way that we do things today. And it won't change the industry. It'll change, you know, everything across the board. So I think really the sky is the limit with what customers can come up with and think of to use for specific use cases. Because as we continue to progress and evolve, right, it's just going to be more and more about Flash.
Sure. Makes sense. Jerry, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I mean, I think as we see the cost model, like Pete had said earlier, you know, as that cost model really kind of goes or intersects with hard drives, I mean, it becomes a much more easier decision, you know, for customers like Jeff that can really make that decision to move more towards all Flash, which is really, really great. The other thing that's really interesting, too, when you look at the Flash market, not only has it helped that, but look at all the things around that that's really forced some change. Like, you go back to, you know, back in the 1950s when hard drives were coming out, it really forced the innovation of RAID technology. And look at all the variations of RAID that we see today, you know. And what it's all about? It's always about three factors, I think, that affect technology. Smaller, cheaper, faster. Those three things seem to be the main drivers always in the industry of what's making things happen. So the neat thing about Flash, I think, is that there's so many things around that that Pete was leading to. Look at storage efficiency. You know, now today, because of that, we have inline dedupe, inline compression. NetApp just announced a new thing called compaction. So we're seeing things like that around Flash that are causing innovation to be driven in many different ways. And the great thing is, it's a win-win for customers.
Agreed. So, Pete, from a there was a recent, obviously, merger between Dell and EMC, and that creates probably some overlap in some product portfolios. Do you care to comment on the life cycle of any of those the products, or can you tell us if that will change anything around the Extreme.io platform or VMAX or Unity and how that'll all fit together?
So our former CEO, Joe Tucci, wisely said, it's better to have too many products with product overlap than not have a product that doesn't meet the customer's needs, right? So we just did a huge announcement on Monday of this week with all of our partners and some of our customers that really kind of laid out and addressed the roadmap as it relates to the Dell SC and Unity, right? I'll summarize the hour-long webcast. They're both here to stay, right? They both serve a specific market. They both have unique places, and we want to make sure that we're servicing all of those customers moving forward. As it relates to Extreme.io, right, that's some very well-crafted FUD, right? Fear, uncertainty, and doubt that has been put in the marketplace that Extreme.io is going away. Why would Dell EMC eliminate the fastest growing all-flash array in the market based on FUD, right? It just simply doesn't make sense. So Extreme.io is here to stay. You're going to hear things about, you know, increased drive capacities and the new architecture for Extreme.io, those kind of things in the coming months. So just reach out to your local EMC teams, you know, be in touch with them and find out, you know, how Extreme.io is going to change, because that's all very tightly held under NDA right
now. Okay. Makes sense. You know, Jerry, speaking of acquisitions, so NetApp recently completed the acquisition of SolidFire. Can you tell us a little bit about what SolidFire is and how that fits into the NetApp flash portfolio?
Yeah, that's a great question, Scott. Yeah, we couldn't be more excited than adding SolidFire to the NetApp product family. So it was a great and I think very strong strategic acquisition because it really complements the NetApp product family. So when you look at the founders of the company, one thing that's kind of interesting, they're both named Dave. So you have David Wright from SolidFire that's joining, and very smart, very excited to have him. And we're very interested in seeing what he can help us do with our product portfolio as a whole. And then, of course, you have David Hitz, who's been with NetApp actually since 1992, which is really great. And I think it speaks a lot about NetApp's culture. So you've got NetApp with ONTAP that really centers around naming its OS after beer. And then you've got SolidFire with its OS and naming it after elements on the periodic table. So you've got guys that like to drink beer and geeks, and it makes a culture that actually is a lot of fun and good. So good things. The other thing, too, I'll mention is that when you look at SolidFire, definitely a flash company, a disruptive company with some really great ideas and technology. But the whole thing is with NetApp is that it's not either or. It's a complementary type of technology. And the reason why, when you look at data centers like Jeff, you've got your traditional, basically applications, SAP, Oracle. They've always had the infrastructure. And, you know, ONTAP could be a great fit for that type of environment and what you're trying to do with hybrid, spinning disk, you know, things like that. When you look at SolidFire and you look at a lot of different companies, too, they've now got mobility. So look at the change that we've seen with mobility in our lives. So that's really changed how applications are developed. You have agile and all things like that. You also have all these things around third platform. So when you look at that, it's really a shift. And then Amazon and Google in cloud, they've had a tremendous amount of change in the data center for customers as well. So this is a new generation type of technology when you look at SolidFire. So bringing that in, it really makes a great story for not either or, but actually for both, because it really complements what customers are really trying to fight in their business every day.
Sure, makes a lot of sense. Jeff, you and Pete shared, you were telling Pete an interesting story, offline earlier about a conversation you had with a DBA. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah, so funny you mentioned that. So a few weeks ago, Pete and I were chatting about Flash, and we happened to have our OLTP running in that space. And for the first time in my existence as a storage administrator, I had a DBA ask me to slow the storage down. So it was like, can you speak into the mic?
Yeah.
Because we, at that point in time, we were really hammering the CPU in our compute resources. And so they actually were almost serious about it. But it was we are sustaining very high levels of I/O. And we've sort of shifted the bottleneck. So as administrators, we have to really start thinking, what does that mean as we start deploying Flash in the infrastructure? We have other problems we have to worry about. You know, quality of service and those types of things come into play more so than capacity and bully victim analysis. So it was a moment to be that I've never experienced before. It was great.
Great story, Jeff. Great story. Well, that's all the questions I have for the panel. So I'll turn to Brian and see if we have any questions from our internet audience.
Yeah, Scott, we do have a question here. First one is, are you seeing any concerns over availability from customers who have moved to all flash storage?
Peter, Jerry, want to take a stab at that one?
Sure, I'll take a stab at it. Yeah, definitely not. I mean, this is something that's always been a concern, right? And basically making sure that you can protect your data. So we saw that, you know, with spinning disk, with RAID technology, and basically coming with better ways to make sure that the platters and the rewrite heads would be much more reliable. Today, you know, you see that fundamental shift with flash being around the cells. So you see different type of technologies ensuring, you know, as I try to get a bit or bits, you know, into that cell, I mean, how do I protect it? What kind of things can I do? So definitely, you know, we're seeing a lot of different type of innovation. There's even been a new innovation, you know, when you look at Samsung, who's the leading manufacturer in flash, they created this new thing called multi-stream. So the nice thing about that is that it actually can tie into the operating system and intellectual property of enterprise storage vendors. And it's all about really making sure that there's better reliability, better endurance. But for flash, even more importantly, it really makes sure that there's better durability as well, so it's going to last longer. So there definitely will be continued innovation around it. And I'm sure Jeff could probably even comment on his reliability that he's seen in the flash technology as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, you know, a couple petabytes of storage on the floor spread across the world, right? And just last week, I think it was, we lost our first flash drive. We've been running flash in a hybrid solution for 3 to 4 years. So
one failure in 5 years on SSD.
On SSD and our platform, yep, for what we're doing.
And how many spinning drives have you replaced over that time?
I don't have enough hands, fingers, or toes. I mean, you know, as in the storage world, we're actually, that's one of the things that we are constantly fighting that battle. In fact, I think I've got three I need to deal with right now.
Exactly. So you know, we kind of look at it, you know, a very similar way, right? How can we ensure that the customer's data is the most, is very safe when you put it on that type of flash storage, right? So I think Jeff's point kind of speaks for itself, right? On the level of availability and reliability that we look at as we build into these flash drives. You know, there's all kinds of different technologies that the different storage vendors use to ensure that, you know, if something goes wrong with that cell, there's a copy of it made, right? And that's a very low level in the drive. You know, and then you've got your RAID protections that are built on top of that. And everybody does that differently as well. But we kind of took it to the next level with our flash drives, and we have what we call the Expect More program, right? And so to summarize, right, the Expect More program basically guarantees the life of the flash drive for as long as you need an array. And we have tools that come in and monitor that, right, and look at it so that we can kind of proactively correct those things, know when the flash drives are going to fail, look at the wear rates of the drives, right? So we take that and we really innovate it into our storage products itself so that we can kind of give customers the assurances that they need with their data.
And it really becomes even more important, too. I mean, if you look at it, it's really fascinating. If you look at your thumbnail, they can actually put a terabyte of storage, you know, in that space today. So as we see more things like, you know, airplanes that are, you know, driving 50 terabytes a day, autonomous cars, 40 gig a day, things like that, you know, we see the amount of storage is going to just heavily increase. And as I can get more capacity into such a smaller footprint, it becomes so much more important to make sure that it can be very well protected. So I think we'll see, like I said, a lot of innovation in this area.
Excellent.
Okay, and then the next question is, in your opinion, what is the most important feature of flash one should evaluate when purchasing flash?
You know, and I'm sure Pete would agree too, you know, obviously performance is like, that's just like a given. So, you know, if I look at that, I think, you know, we were kind of talking about that earlier. I think one of the greatest things about that to me has been around efficiency. And it was forced in that area because they were so expensive. So if you had a 1 terabyte or 100 gig drive, I had to make sure I could maximize it, maybe make it 3, 5, you know, 10 times its size. Well, how do I do that? it drove the innovation of things like deduplication, compression, again, things like compaction, thin provisioning. So I think those things are things that have made flash, I think, really valuable, is because it's forced the manufacturers and the enterprise storage vendors like NetApp and Dell EMC to really innovate in other ways to take advantage and make sure that we can make that a cost-effective technology for customers.
So I'm going to use my favorite IT answer in the world. It really depends, right? You know, everybody's products do different things. And basically what it boils down to is it boils down to what's your specific use case. You may have an application that when you turn on deduplication, it doesn't work so well, right? You may have an application that when you turn on deduplication, it was designed for that, right? So you really got to take a step back and evaluate what your different use cases are to figure out what features are going to really benefit you the most, right? Some customers will tell you it's the instantaneous snapshot ability of, you know, enterprise storage arrays. Other customers, customers will tell you, if you don't have deduplication, I don't want to talk to you, right? So it all depends. There is no good answer. There is no wrong answer, right? It depends on what your use cases are and what you're really looking to drive for and accomplish from the business needs.
Jeff, what about from your perspective? Anything that stand out during your selection process?
You know, as we sit back and look at what we've got in the data center and we evaluate what is very valuable, the performance is obviously number one to us. There's a lot of soft costs that you got to consider. I mean, the footprint's huge. You know, I mean, we have a colo that we have downtown that we have to pay, you know, for that space.
Sure.
But so those soft costs are certainly important. But as far as, you know, the deduplication goes and those types of things, you know, but for me and for what we're looking to do, you know, I mean, we have a database that drives 50,000 IOPS during the, you know, at any given time during a business day. So can it do a million IOPS? I really don't care about that. But can it sustain my OLTP or my VDI environment? And specifically in a VDI environment, are we getting a good level of deduplication? So, but for me, it's performance. I mean, obviously, we need to be able to sustain the business need in a very performant way as we start doing things like BPI and we do automation efforts around our internal infrastructure as we're orchestrating things and deploying storage and virtual machines and all these types of very important pieces of the infrastructure. Performance is really what's driving some of those decisions.
But I think it also needs to be consistent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spikes in workloads and things like that make it very difficult to come in and manage. So you've got to be able to have, you know, storage that's very consistent from a performance perspective, not necessarily from the number of IOPS, but more from the latency.
I agree. True. 100%. You know, the craziest thing is the faster the things get, the more our expectations change.
Exactly.
Right? And we can't stand those bumps. You know, so you're at, you know, a millisecond, all of a sudden it goes up to 10 or 20. Like, what the heck's going on? And you're absolutely right. I think we're going to see a lot of innovation. How do I maintain that consistency of that latency and not have any bumps in the road? Because we're all going to get a little aggravated. When we
certainly used
things.
To spend a lot of time managing for capacity, but now we set expectations with performance and our customers really, you know, live and die by that performance. And if you take it away, believe me, you hear about it. I mean, it's one of those situations where we have to be very, very adamant about how we deploy those solutions to provide the best services to the customer. For me, it's the internal business units.
It's like giving your child an iPhone and trying to take it away, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know how well that goes.
Right.
Great answers, guys. Brian, any more questions?
Yeah, Scott, the next question that came in is, with flash, are there predictive failure technologies like there is for spindles? Technology is changing so fast, newer drives do not have years of use to prove reliability. How do we assure to management we will not have multiple drives fail?
Well, the interesting thing is, I mean, Jeff probably gave the greatest testimony of all, right? You said you've had one drive failure in how many years?
About 3 years, yeah. I mean, this is the first one. It was just last week.
Yeah, so I mean, it really gets to the physics, right? I mean, when you look at the technology of spinning drives, I mean, with platters, I mean, you have mechanical and you have physical things that are much different when you're looking at silicon and for flash. So it immediately becomes much more reliable. And again, when you can do the comparison of a data center like Jeff has, and you have spinning drives that's had X number of failures, and then you have flash, you know, definitely a big difference. But also, you're definitely seeing some technology, CFT and some other things that other manufacturers are working on. And it's really trying to figure out, how do I increase the durability of those individual cells? So they're already pretty strong. And the thing is, they're trying to figure out, how many bits can I squeeze in that cell and make sure it doesn't leak. As I add voltages to that very small, space, how can I make sure that it lasts longer too? So again, there's a number of technologies that are going to make it even better, but just from the get-go, and I can definitely say from many customers I talk to, like these drives just don't fail. So that should give you huge confidence. Plus, don't forget, you still have RAID technology. So RAID has not gone away. So if a drive fails, you've got rebuilds, and guess what? With solid state, the rebuilds are extremely fast. So
they don't take as long.
So that's a bit. So as the drives get bigger, that's not a big issue like with spinning drives. So those things together, it's an exciting time, and it's a win-win for customers, I think.
So I think from our perspective, right, we're not going to put a drive in an array that doesn't have the ability to proactively predict when it's going to fail, right? And that's just a given, right? We're not going to put our name behind it if there's not those capabilities in there. So all of our arrays today have those capabilities, right? If you log into Extreme.io, you can go in and you can check the wear leveling of your drives. You can see it right there. See what the percentage used is, how much life is left on those drives. And again, that's why we guarantee our flash drives with the Expect More program, right? We're not going to put low quality drives, consumer grade drives, in our storage platforms that are not going to have some sort of error correction, protective predictability behind it. It's just not going to happen.
And the proof's always in the money, right? So when you look at manufacturers like us too, when you look at our willingness to make warranties extend to 7 years, that's a great answer to show you that exactly. There's a lot of reliability in that flash technology.
I think all great answers. And, I think, Jerry, you just hit it on the head. If they weren't going to expect the drives to last 10 years or more, they probably wouldn't warranty in them. And I think you also mentioned there are physics limitations on the number of write cycles, and there's just theoretical limits. But vendors such as you guys are getting around that with software, right? Changing the way that the data is written to the cells. And there's all kinds of creative ways that the OEMs are going about that. And I think that's really the differentiator of platforms, right? As you guys have said before, there's only so many vendors you can buy the drives for, but yet everybody comes up with a different solution to it.
Yeah, definitely the algorithms that everybody uses, right, to write the data down to the drives helps improve the longevity of the drives as well. Because if you're not overwriting the same cells, guess what? You can read from the cell all day long. So how you go about it, what you can put in the software stack above it to improve the longevity of the drives, what you can do to predictively pre-fail a drive, what you can build into the drive itself so that, hey, this cell's bad, let's just move it to an extra cell in there, right, are all things that we all take into account when we develop flash technology.
Yeah, and I just, as Pete said too, the other thing too, I mean, we're in the fourth generation of NAND technology. And so as you see that, I think you're seeing the manufacturers, flash basically coming to some of the enterprise storage vendors and basically now doing things, a new technology called multi-stream, which really allows the flash technology to tie into the enterprise storage operating system to figure things like that out. How can I ensure there's better reliability, endurance, and durability of that technology? So as you see them becoming more comfortable and working with storage vendors like us, you're just going to see the availability go that much higher.
Brian.
Okay, Scott, here's the last question. Do you foresee a role for legacy spinning disk 5 years from now?
Great question. Jerry, do you want to take a stab at that one?
I would. I'd love to. Yeah. Without a doubt, absolutely. So if you look at the technology, so today there are three manufacturers doing hard drive technology. Interesting trivia thing on that. When IBM was the first one to bring out spinning disk technology in 1956, during that time from there, now there's been over 200 manufacturers that actually made disk drives in some fashion or another. We're down to three. But it doesn't mean it's going away. So if you look at technology just been out in the last few years, helium-based drives, this has basically allowed us to go from 5 platters to 7 platters. So they're basically figuring out, how do I get capacity? Obviously, the physics of the speed is really not there. Once you hit 15K, it was kind of diminishing returns. But now with helium, we can add more platters, which guess what? Means more space. And then there are some things that haven't even come out yet, things like HAMR, heat-assisted magnetic recording. You got SRD, so it's shielded magnetic SMR. I'm sorry, shielded magnetic recording. These aren't even necessarily out yet, especially HAMR. So we're already hearing that there's going to be 60 terabyte physical spinning drives, which means the cost per megabyte is going to be extremely low. So, definitely it's going to be, I've been in this for a long time. I was told tapes were going to die, I don't know, 30 years ago.
Very true.
And they're still
like the
here.
Mainframe. Huh? Kind of like the mainframe.
Mainframe still here. Yeah, exactly. So they're here to stay. And the good news is there's still technology that they're innovating that's not even out yet. So, again, it'll be around for a while.
So I agree with Jerry, right? The spinning drives will still be around, but I don't think that they'll have a place in the enterprise storage platforms, right? They may have a place in archive or backup or, you know, something like that. But I think in the enterprise storage platforms, you've hit that point of diminishing returns from a cost perspective on flash drives. And I think you're going to continue to see the innovation move more towards flash drives as we continue to evolve in this space. So I think there'll be lots of things that haven't come out yet that we'll talk about and leverage, you know, spinning drives. But I just see it really, really tapering off in enterprise storage space.
Elaborate on that, Pete. I know worldwide, specifically next year, you know, as we plan and budget for what we're going to do in the infrastructure next year, we don't have any plans of buying spinning disks next year at all. So.
Well, guys, I think this concludes our panel. I want to thank the individual panelists, Jerry from NetApp,
thank
Pete
you.
From Dell EMC, and Jeff from our internal IT. I think it was a fantastic discussion. Enjoyed the dialogue with you guys, and to our audience out there, please check out WWT.com for more information, and also reach out to your account executive and schedule an executive briefing here in St. Louis at the ATC. Come see the awesome technology that Dell EMC and NetApp have in this facility and learn how that can help your business. Thank you.